day two of the show in 2022.
You're keeping count now?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get to 2023. And whether the show is doing that or not is another question altogether.
Well, you'd be back by popular demand, Bob. Huge, huge.
Well, better be more popular then. One of the things that we talked about yesterday, granted in brief, I don't think we made a big deal of it, but we did have a conversation about the fate of hockey in the Olympic Games, mm-hmm. and the concept of moving the hockey portion to the Summer Olympics, the same situation that the NBA has done right from the beginning. And that cue was picked up by Gary Bettman yesterday, who publicly said that he has gone to the IOC and said, this is what we would want to participate in the future, to play in the summer. Now, if you go back to the history of the Olympic Games, mm-hmm. the very early Olympics, the games were all played outside. They were not played in indoor arenas.
Well, and really, they weren't winter Olympics until after the Second World War, Bob.
So, but they were played in the wintertime in outdoor arenas.
Yeah.
Is there any and we can all recall times when Stanley Cup playoffs went late and you'd have foggy arenas because it was too warm outside. Mm-hmm. We're past that now, are we not? I mean, we're now proven that a hockey game indoors can take place even if it's 90 degrees outside.
Well, I mean, last year's Stanley Cup final, I think, finished on July the 14th. The year before, we were in the bubble on August the 1st in two cities. Yeah. So I mean, playing hockey 12 months a year is not really an issue. But are you serious that you think that the IOC would welcome moving hockey to the summer?
Oh, no, I'm not. I have no opinion on what they will do.
No chance.
They're a bunch
there's
of
no, there's no with. There's no
well,
chance.
Why?
They're trying to scale back the summer games. It has become so big and so unmanageable with all the sports that one of the things that one was the most attractive thing about having the pros in the winter games was that it gave the Olympics in the wintertime a little more stature and there was more balance. There's absolutely no way that hockey will go back to the summer games. It will not happen, Bob. I admire people who say, well, let's just do it. But when you look at the pecking order of importance of sports to the IOC in the summer, ice hockey would not be one of them. It wouldn't. And that's just a reality.
Well, if the mandate is to reduce the number of events in summer games and increase the number of events in winter games, maybe it's time to stop designating that sports have to fall within the barometers of when they are played internationally. Basketball, for example, is certainly in North America and for the most part in Europe, is played in the fall and winter. Mm-hmm. And then into the spring. It shouldn't qualify then as a Summer Olympics sport. It should be played in the Winter Olympics, but it's not. Swimming is an event that has no real, other than, you know, people going to the beach. Why couldn't you flip hockey and swimming?
Well, hold on. That's a
swimming
very...
Swimming and diving. And water sports in general are easily done in indoor facilities. In fact, preferably done in indoor facilities.
I think, so therefore, what was the last time there was outdoor swimming?
Well, they have occasionally.
Barcelona, I think in 92 was outdoor swimming. So
there might've been one since then, but generally it's indoors. So take the indoor events from the summer games, move them to the winter games and take a sport like hockey and move it to the summer games. If you're really, you know, and get rid of the designation, the specifics of the designation of summer versus winter sports. The only reason that designation exists is because you can't have downhill skiing in July in a warm weather climate.
That's in the northern in the northern hemisphere.
Correct.
Yeah, in the northern hemisphere. That's right.
Correct, which is where most of the Olympic Games are played.
Yeah.
The vast majority, or most of the Olympic Games, period, are played.
Yeah.
I mean, how many Olympics have been played in the southern hemisphere? Have other than Australia?
Wait, well, you can't mention other than Australia.
Well, but that's all. Is there another one?
Well, they were in Brazil.
All right, they went to Rio. That's right.
And I don't.
I can't think of another.
I don't think there was another. No.
Well, so the relevance of North versus Southern hemispheres is fundamentally irrelevant. Is there a city anywhere in the Southern hemisphere that aspires to have Olympic Games and that has not? You know, maybe another Australian city.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things where the Winter Games are not at the same level as the Summer Games.
Well,
they're
understand that.
No, but on every level. I mean, on every level. And
well, what's the point?
The point is that there's no room for hockey in the summer. There's just no room.
Move something from the, you're not listening to me. I say no. Something from the summer to the Winter Games.
You can't Why? Tell because the federations are all involved in this. Because it's not the IOC just doesn't sit there and willy-nilly designate field hockey.
Wait a sec. No. Tell me the relevance of moving swimming. And I'm just bringing this out because it's theoretically possible. Would you agree? You could move swimming and diving to the Winter Games. It's an indoor facility. Almost every city has one that would accommodate this. You probably wouldn't have to build anything.
Well, you'll have to build.
Oh, they'll want to.
Swimming facility. Yeah, they'll build a swimming facility.
It's easily done. Is swimming competitions take place as much in the wintertime as they do in the summertime? Well, nearly.
It's a 12-month sport now, yeah.
Sport.
There's no question, yeah.
Yeah. So you take swimming and diving out, and even water polo, any pool sport event, and switch that. Well, I think there's a trade-off, an immediate trade-off right there. And now we get to the question
That's good of you. That's really good of you, Bob.
Well, yeah, now we get to the question of, is the NHL's participation in the Olympics that important?
No.
Well, so it's then it not. Doesn't matter what Mr. Bettman has to say.
Well, what he's trying to do, and I believe, is trying to say to the message is almost as much for the players in the NHL as it is for the IOC, is we're going to do our best to get you to the Olympics. And if it works, in our opinion, it works better in the summertime. Then we'll try to get you in the summertime. But I'm not sure they want to go through the exercise of what we saw this time around in 2024 in Italy.
All right, what about a one-off? In order to accommodate the NHL's players' desire to be in the Olympics, what if they went to, was it 2024, next Summer Games?
Yes, 2024. 2024 is in Paris. 2026 is in Italy for the Winter Games. So let's go.
If they just went? They just said, "All right, we're going to switch hockey to the Summer Games one time."
I didn't mind Kevin DuPont's idea on the last show of playing back to back in the Olympics in 2024 in Paris and 2026 in Italy. So one Summer Game, one Winter Game to get them back on track.
Yeah.
The issue then becomes, and by the way, how much money does the NHL and the players get from going to the Olympics?
Oh, I don't know.
How about none?
Well, they get none. They don't make any money.
They get a bunch
of their expenses paid.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. So they get no revenue from going to the Olympics.
Well, so what? Why should they?
Well, what if you go to 2024 and you go to 2026, you're going to compromise the ability to have a World Cup.
They don't have a World Cup plan anyway. They've been sitting on their ass doing nothing, twiddling about a World Cup for decades.
Well, when would you have done the World Cup?
You could have had one every 2 years if you wanted one.
You think you'd do a World Cup every 2 years in hockey?
I would go to the Olympics, and then in the off 2 years, I'd have a World Cup.
See, I would actually, if you're going to do it, I would just have a World Cup and get all the money.
When's the last World Cup?
2016.
What year is it now?
It's 2022.
And when is the next World Cup?
That's a good discussion. I think they're probably having that talk right now, but when's COVID over?
And when
is COVID
over? It has
over,
nothing Bob? To do with COVID.
Sure it does, Bob.
It has
it,
nothing.
It when takes was a year. It takes a year to organize.
When was the World Cup before 2016?
Oh, but this goes back to another more complicated issue, and that is labor peace in the National Hockey League.
Well, you're bringing up all kinds of excuses, as reasons.
Good reasons.
There are no reasons. If you're committed to a World Cup, and I said this yesterday, you don't like the Olympics? You want best on best? You think best on, and you can generate revenue off it, which you can't from the Olympics?
Correct.
Have a World Cup.
I agree with you.
Screw the IOC.
Yes.
But this league has no plan for that, has never had a plan. It's always been willy-nilly. It's always part of some negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Well,
when was the first World Cup?
Well, that's not a fair question. Do you want Canada Cups?
Yeah, because they just changed the name.
1976.
And
yeah,
how
before,
many
before the NHL players were even contemplating going to the Olympics.
Okay. So do you know the years in which there has been a Canada Cup or a World Cup?
So I'm going to say 1976, 1981, 1984, 1987, 1991, 1996, 2004, 2016. There's a gap. There's a few gaps there.
No kidding.
But you know what? You know what? If you do the labor peace between hockey and its union, and you plug in the lockouts, they fit nicely into that calendar. And that has become the issue. It's become a real trading card, if you want, a piece of the barter in trying to make labor peace between the players and the owners. It's not right, but it's a reality.
Yeah, but that's selfish then, because if it's something that's important, then you do it. I mean, we've had, in the last 31 years, three World Cups.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not a priority. That's not a mandate. And right now, we have no plan. The National Hockey League has no plan for a World Cup.
That we know of.
Well, we asked Bettman the last time he was on about a World Cup, and he says, we're thinking about it.
Well, so there is.
Oh, yeah,
so,
thinking about a lot of things.
There's
no plan.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's no public plan there. You know darn well that the Players Association and the league have had discussions, but every time they probably start the discussion, something else rears its ugly head and says, okay, we've got to address this issue first before we get to a World Cup. You know, they had to address the Olympic issue.
John, that explains it, but it doesn't excuse it.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, I understand.
You have a problem with the Olympics, which the NHL has had. They've had an economic problem with the Olympics. The players want to go. The league doesn't want to go. They don't want to suspend their season in the middle of the year or in the middle of the season. They don't want to encumber the economic burden of going because it is a business, after all, where they're trying to make money, not lose money. And this is just a pure accommodation to the players who want to go to the Olympics. So with all of this debris floating around, say screw the Olympics, we'll just have a World Cup, which essentially is the same thing. The point of difference is you can control it, you can control the timing of it, you can control the destination of it, you can maximize television dollars and revenue in general,
hopefully,
by doing it.
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, it is the same players on the same teams. It is the exact same as an Olympics, except you control it. You, the NHL, control it. And they have chosen to disregard it.
Yeah.
And the players are sitting there with their thumbs up their keister and not mandating that this is a high priority thing.
Well, but I don't agree with that. Don Fehr has always been said that an international hockey is important to the players.
Well, it's what just, they say and what they do are two different things, John.
I mean, they haven't got it over the finish line. There's no question about it. Here's the other thing. The world's most popular sport is football, soccer. They go to the summer games.
Under 22s.
They have an age restriction. That's right. I still would love to see in that fourth year.
World Juniors.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think it's a great idea. Go to
the Olympics. I think the World
Juniors. Have the World Juniors go to be the Olympics in those years. Yep, great idea. And then have the NHL do their own thing.
Right. To the point where with the canceled World Junior Hockey Championship in Edmonton, and by the way, today would
can't
be...
revive it in 45 days, John. That's not happening.
Why not?
Well, it's
the
just
teams
not.
Are picked. The teams are picked. You know, all you have to do is put them on charter airplanes. The tournament's organized.
Same teams, though. No.
Same teams.
No,
well, do it.
Same teams.
Make it the same teams this year. You know, you have to. There has to
same
be a little
teams flexible. As the juniors were.
Sure, why not? And play the Olympics with the World Junior players.
I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying it won't be done.
Oh no, I know it won't be done, but it's really not a bad idea.
Today would be a great idea.
I think today would be a semifinal day at the World Juniors if they had still been playing.
Yeah, TSN will show the semifinal or final from some other game to fill in the gap.
Well, they need to show something.
1874, they'll show the semifinal game.
Who won? No, that year, Canada.
My memory is
Canada.
We got to take the break. We'll come back and chat some more. It's the Bob McCowan podcast. Back after these messages. McCowan and Shannon back with you.
Now that you agree that the World Juniors should go to the Olympics, I think that's
good. I've never disagreed with that, John.
Yeah.
Not a single time. I think it's an excellent idea. We were just focused on the NHL and what they're doing. And this concept of playing in the Summer Olympics, you know, I'm trying to figure out ways. Well, you know, after you said you can't do it, I thought, well, okay, there's
ways. You can't do it.
Yeah, you can.
It doesn't make any sense.
Nothing
from the
makes
Olympics.
Sense with the Olympics. Look at the sports that are out there. Eight people invent a sport in Hawaii, and 3 days later, it's an Olympic event.
By the way, okay, so let me ask you a question. So the number one viewed sport at the Tokyo Olympics on the continent of Asia was?
Well, I have no idea. Badminton.
Archery.
Seriously?
Yes. Archery. Number one viewed sport in Asia during the games. And that's, see, we get myopic about what the Olympics mean and how important it is to, you know, Western Europe and how important it is to the United States and how important it is to us.
Oh, no, no.
We forget there are, you know, half the population of the world are in continents that have different priorities to sports. Look, and athletic endeavors. I'd eliminate a whole bunch of sports
that Canada has dominated in, like these nonsensical skiing sports.
No, no, no. We put those in so that we could win medals.
Well, I get it. So I'm sure that's why archery is in there.
I think archery's been in since the beginning. Don't you think?
Well, it's fundamental. I mean, the only difference is they're not shooting at each other or an animal.
Oh no! I don't want the animal activists all over us, Bob. We have a nice little podcast.
I'm defending
here.
Them. I'm not. Okay, I'm
good,
not
good. I hope so, Bob. I don't want you to be out there advocating.
Well, I don't want some bubba with a bow and arrow, you know, who has spent most of his life in green fatigues and in a forest.
No, up at
the Olympics.
What do they call those things that they're up in the tree? They in a blind.
A blind.
Yeah, sitting in a blind. I got a buddy of mine that. Does that all the time north of
Edmonton. He's an idiot.
Yeah. You tell him. He's about 6'4" and weighs 260.
Send him over.
I will. I might just talk to him today. I don't like it when he does.
I'm old enough not to be afraid of anybody anymore.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
What's the worst that can happen? My expiration is a little premature. Let's get to hockey.
Okay.
Oh, we were on hockey, sort of. This Edmonton Oilers free fall,
yeah,
is really quite surprising, and maybe we shouldn't have got sucked in by how good this team looked at the beginning of the year. Maybe that was the mistake.
The fool's gold.
Maybe it was, John. Maybe this team is what it has been, and that's mediocre. They're not as bad as losing 10 in a row or not winning a game in 10.
2-8-2.
That's 12 games.
Yeah.
They lost 6 in a row, and I think they've lost 2 in overtime and 2 in regulation time since then.
Yeah.
So that's 10 games they haven't won. If you're a good team, that shouldn't happen. Now, is some of this COVID related? Not much.
Well, there's been a couple of players out with COVID. Darnell Nurse, their number one defenseman.
Most teams have a couple of players.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, that.
Like, they haven't had like 8 guys, 10 guys out.
You almost now need to say you can't count COVID as an excuse because everybody's got
this. Everybody's got it.
Yeah. And so you have to deal with it. And then what does come into play is what is your depth? How can you compensate for when good players are out of your lineup? And that's a real challenge.
So the guy that's getting all the heat right now, not surprisingly, is Mikko Koskinen.
Other than the coach, Dave Tippett, right?
Well, coach always, when there's a losing streak, they fire the coach.
Yeah.
Well, so now they want to get rid of the goalie and fire the coach. And there isn't another goalie ready to step in because Mike Smith has been hurt, is hurt.
Is hurt again, yeah.
And has been hurt repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's 38 years old, right?
Yeah, 39, yeah.
Well, you know, that expectation, you hope a guy can stay healthy and effective at that age. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is that things are starting to fall apart for Mike Smith. And you can't count on him for a long run.
It goes back to what has been a repeated theme of teams and good teams is strength down the middle. Goaltending, number one defenseman, how are you with centers? Well, the Oilers have two pretty good centers in McDavid and Dreisaitl.
No, they have two of the best in the game.
But right now, that's all they have. Darnell Nurse can't play 60 minutes of defense. And they have absolutely no real scoring on a consistent level from people other than McDavid or Dreisaitl. And even now, and pardon the pun, that's drying up too. You know, they didn't have points again against the Rangers on Monday night.
Well, they only scored one goal as a team.
Right. But where do you, there's lots of blame to go around, but do you just keep banging the drum until you get a break? Because, you know, they don't get any breaks right now. And that seems to happen with teams that lose. They don't get breaks. The Rangers, by the way, the Rangers are a really good hockey club. You know, when you think about Artemi Panarin wasn't in the lineup against them, and he's their best player, and they looked pretty complete. They have really good young goaltending. Mika Zibanejad's a good centerman. Anyway, I got sidetracked. The issue with the Oilers is right now it's playing like a team that only has two players. It only has two players.
Well, what happened in the first 15 games of the regular season when they couldn't lose?
Well, they could score tons of goals on the power play, and they were at almost between 40% and 50% efficiency on the power play, and people were taking silly penalties. And what's happened in the last 10 games is people aren't taking penalties against the Oilers because you stay out of the penalty box and you get rid of the Oilers' opportunity to score on the power play. And then a few of the players that were expected to be difference makers, not the prime guys like Zach Cassian, who has been in and out of the lineup with injury. Zach Hyman, who's been in and out of the lineup. Warren Fogel. Guys that they went and got this summer that was supposed to improve their depth have not been able to contribute scoring wise. And that's that truly is in many ways the issue. Duncan Keith has been sporadic on the blue line.
Well, look, we get the issue. Yeah. What's the answer?
Well,
in my mind, like firing the coach.
Okay, but hold on, Bob. Let's talk about that. So you're the owner of a team.
Yeah.
You're the owner of a team.
And Keith.
You don't have as much money as Daryl does, but you're the owner of a team and you're watching 31 other teams play in the game. And you see a team in your division make a coaching change. And that coaching change occurs and they haven't lost in regulation since.
Well, okay. I have the answer to that.
Well, you can't hire Bruce Boudreau again.
Do you think your team is underperforming because of the coach? Or in the case of Vancouver, the coach and the general manager. Do you think your team is actually what you saw in October, November, or is it what you've seen in December, January? Which of those is it? Now you answer that question, Mr. Cates. Which honestly is, what are the Edmonton Oilers? Because I will say to you that you and I, when we had this conversation or several conversations about them earlier in the year, mm-hmm. I think you bought in.
Oh, I did. Oh, no, I was like,
this was it. They had unlocked the door and they were making.
But Hyman was contributing and it wasn't a two-man show.
I don't need the reasons. You bought in.
Of course I did.
So is that team that good and they're just having a bad spell, or do they need a new key to unlock something? Well, they certainly need a goaltender that can play.
Yeah. Well, that Koskinen move on the first goal was just silly. Just silly.
Well, tossing the puck over the glass 15 seconds in wasn't real smart either.
No, Mikko did not have a good start to the game. Although I thought in the second and third periods, he was the only reason they were still in the game. So that's
the head coach.
Sure he did, but Dave is grasping at straws now. Dave is trying to find something to light a spark somehow, some way, and that becomes is change good enough? Is change enough? And the messaging enough to make a team play better? This is what Paul Maurice left. He left the Jets because in many ways, I think that there was a real feeling that the players had stopped listening to him.
Okay. So what would you do? What's the answer in your opinion?
Well, my answer is I'm not changing the coach until I have somebody I know that can come in and make a difference. So what I'm doing right now, probably behind the scenes, is doing my due diligence and trying to create a list of people that would make a difference as a coach.
Well,
that becomes the real challenge.
Yeah, but that's I think that's a mirage. I don't think you can.
You don't think the coach is the problem?
I don't know if the coach is a problem. I'll be
so
honest.
What would you?
I don't
what would
know.
You,
what would but what you I do know is that's a magic act. You can bring in the greatest coach of all time and not be sure of what the results will be.
Scotty's 88, but that's okay. He'd come in and...
That's the guy I had in mind. But you don't know.
No.
We both love Gabby.
Sure.
Gabby's record of success in going into franchises and having immediate impact and winning games in the regular season is almost unparalleled in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
Gabby's problem has been when you get to the playoffs. Now, Vancouver was in a situation where they weren't going to get to the playoffs. So win a bunch of games in the regular season and just make some kind of change. So they bring Gabby in, give him a fairly short leash, couple of years, I think he's got a two-year deal.
Three.
Is it?
I think so. No, you're right. No, it's this year and next.
Yeah.
I was thinking Jim Rutherford. Rutherford's got the three-year deal.
Thank you. So, and now he wins, a million in a row. Well, you couldn't have anticipated that.
No, are you kidding me?
No, that's not why they brought him in. They didn't look around and said, well, if we bring Gabby in, we can win like 10 in a row.
And by the way, some of the players that were supposed to be motivated by him haven't made a difference. Brock Besser's been on the COVID list forever, and Elias Pettersson's not a non-factor.
So, well, whatever the case.
Yeah.
So changing the coach is kind of a last gasp thing. And to look around to try and find the perfect coach who can change things.
You're not going to find him in the middle of the season.
You don't know.
Right.
You're never going to know.
Right.
And I think Kenny Holland is smart enough to understand that.
Well, and if Tippett has lost the room,
then you make a change. If he hasn't,
maybe
go find a goaltender.
Oh, that's a little more difficult than you think, though. I mean, you don't think he's been trying to find a goaltender over the years, whether signing as a free agent or through trade? You know, this is a team that's still tight to the cap.
Go get somebody who's not getting an opportunity, who's buried third or fourth on somebody else's depth chart. Putting a wooden post in between the pipes might be helpful. Look at Campbell. When Toronto got Campbell, was there oh my God, we got one of the great goaltenders of all time? No, we got a wooden post.
No. Jack Campbell had reinvented himself by the time he got to Toronto. He was a quality goaltender in Los Angeles by the time he got there. He wasn't supposed to be the number one guy because that was still supposed to be Freddie Anderson, who was supposed to be the difference maker in Toronto. But
he was just a guy. Maybe he was going to be good. Maybe he wasn't going to be good.
Yeah. Okay.
And look at what he's become. You just don't know.
No, that's right.
You know what you're getting from Kiprusoff or from Koskinen. And
actually,
maybe the Kiprusoff thing is another story too.
No, but sign Kiprusoff. I'm now. He's a little. He might be too old, but he was a hell of a goaltender.
Koskinen is.
Yeah. Listen, that's been the Achilles heel for the Oilers.
Not good enough.
No, he's not. And Mike Smith is not healthy enough. And that's a tough spot to put their number three goalie, Stuart Skinner, in, who's really still learning the craft, as, you know, countless times we've talked about, is that you need to be 23, 24, 25 before you understand how to play goal in the National Hockey League. So it's a tough spot to be in. It's a tough spot to be in. And the frustration, I think, for a lot of people is that, you know, if you put Connor and Leon out in the ice too much, they get tired and then they're not near as effective. But they could single-handedly turn a game around. They could do it. And that becomes, you know, the yang of it is, you know, okay, Connor, save us one more time. Okay, Leon, it's your turn tonight. But we've heard that story too many times in Edmonton when it comes to what should happen. This is a team that can't get off to good starts in games. The opposition has scored far too many times first. There are things that the emotional state of the players, you can see their shoulders slump when that happens. There are just things that are not going in the proper direction, and whether that's a change of coach. That.
That's why no, they've whether 10 games without a win.
Whether that's a change of coach or a change of goaltender, but both situations, if you sat down with Kenny Holland over a beer at a bar, which you can only do, I think, today in Ontario, and said, okay, fire Dave Tippett. And he would say, okay, replace him with who? And then you'd say, okay, get rid of your goaltenders. And he'd say, replace him with who? Because you know darn well that Holland has scoured the National Hockey League for goaltenders and has always a contemplation of who coaches aren't hired.
I get the generic rhetoric here. You know, everybody understands that, John. All I'm saying to you is that firing the coach is not an automatic solution. Because you were sort of implying that because Calgary fired their coach and they've been a much better team, and now Vancouver has fired their coach, you know, the two geographic rivals of Edmonton, maybe the tendency would be to go in that direction.
And I am telling you right now,
I guarantee. I don't know. I can't see what the coach is doing. I can see what the goaltender is doing. I'd be playing somebody other than Koskinen, even Kiprusoff.
Well, they don't have much choice right now. And that's
what Patrick Roy doing these days.
He's trying to get another job.
Waiting for a job.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Dust off your pads. We got to take another break. We'll come back with more after these messages. Bob McCowan, John Shannon with you. Did we talk a little bit about the NHL postponing or stopping the postponement of games because of nobody being...
No, we haven't talked about that yet.
All right, quickly. Ottawa Senators are going to go west soon.
Yeah, they're supposed to be in Seattle on January 6th. That game has been postponed.
Yeah, and they've got three or four games on that schedule. And yeah. It looks like the NHL is reluctant to allow teams to postpone games for no other reason other than they can't make any money by putting people in the seats. Because that's what's been happening.
Yes. Yeah, and certainly in Canada.
And we had a slight minor argument about it, the merits of that yesterday. And I don't want to get back into that. But the NHL is now conceding with a team like Ottawa, who's also already lost a bunch of games.
Yeah.
They're getting perilously close to not being able to finish the season if they cancel more for no other reason than nobody can watch them. So those Canadian games on the West Coast swing may have to be played.
Yeah, but and in those three cities, as we're on the air here, can put 50% people in their buildings in Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver. But the reason the game in Seattle was postponed was COVID for the Senators. They have too many guys on the COVID list right now. And the issue also becomes cross-border, because what you don't want at this point is have a team in the United States and a player stuck in isolation for 10 days between countries. Because even though in the United States they've changed it for 5 days of quarantining, and the provinces, most of the provinces have changed to 5 days, the federal government is still 10. So to come back into the country, you'd have to isolate for 10 days in a hotel room, for the sake of argument, in Seattle before you could come back to Canada. So that's one of the reasons they're trying to avoid all that. So right now, the Senators, the road trip will be a three-game road trip that starts in Vancouver on Saturday. So the whole concept of we don't have enough dates. I just think that people are, and I think the medical advisors, the scientists are telling them we're going to get through Omicron. It's going to take us 2 to 3 weeks to get through Omicron, and then we'll get some level of normalcy again, where we can put people in arenas, and then we can get everything done. I still think that they're going to have to extend the season, maybe 7 to 10 days, Bob, to get everything done. And then in order to try to get the Stanley Cup given out by the end of June.
All right. A bunch of other things. Some football stuff. The Washington football team is going to announce a new nickname.
Next month, yeah.
February 2nd.
Yeah, wow.
And I guess I just haven't followed it very closely, but I sort of was under the impression they had decided not to get a new nickname. They're just going to go with the Washington football team henceforth. Do they need a nickname?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think they do. I think they do for merchandise alone. And again, follow the money, right? I think they need it in a sport and a league that always identifies with nicknames and copyrights. So from that perspective, I think that they've always, I think Daniel Snyder has always said, we're going to have a nickname. We're just going to take our time to do it. Not as quick as, remember how quickly Cleveland, the baseball team in Cleveland did it and changed to the Gladiators. Yeah,
but I presume that they were contemplating for years, as Washington should have been. Well, if we do this, where can we go?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I don't know that Guardians was the name that, a year
Guardians
ago.
Or Guardians. I said Gladiators. Sorry.
the Guardians, or was the name that they had decided years ago that if we have to change, this is what we're going to go to. I don't think that's the case, but I think they were certainly contemplating it. So you want to, you got any ideas as to what Washington might call their team?
Commanders.
Have you heard something, or are you just?
Yeah. That's out there, that the Washington Commanders. Man, when you think commander in chief in Washington, and it makes sense.
Well, the obvious nicknames are gone.
Well,
you know, senators was an obvious one.
Nationals. Yeah.
You
could call them the presidents.
That's interesting too.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, I have no.
So you would have been fine with, see here, the interesting.
Would I have been fine with Washington football team?
Yeah.
Well, I have no interest in them.
No, but
they're such a crummy organization. I don't expect they'll ever play in a playoff game again. And so I won't have to pay any attention to them during the regular season. I'll just ignore them. So, I mean, when is the last time the Washington football team came up in casual conversation for you with anybody at any time?
I think it happened when we were told they're changing their name.
Yeah, from Redskins to Washington football team.
That's right.
No, me too.
Who cares? From a football perspective, they used to be, they were a going concern. You know, they were something to watch. They were fun. You know, when the NFC East was the big boys of football, when the Cowboys and the Redskins and the Giants, Washington was a factor in the National Football League.
Well, I think they were a factor because they're in the same division as the Cowboys, and everybody loves the Cowboys
Or hates the Cowboys,
in spite of the fact that they've rarely been a very good football team. They might be good this year, but they haven't been very good, you know, for a long period of time. And then you drag the Eagles into that, who generally speaking have been a crummy football team. So I don't think Washington is the focal point of that conference. And the Giants have been crap since, well, for a decade.
Yeah.
However long since they won a Super Bowl, which was a fluke, by the way, too.
Is this your inner Buffalo Bills coming out, or what?
I'm not a Buffalo Bills fan.
I know, but is it your inner Buffalo Bill coming out?
I don't know what that means.
Wide right.
Some other things. Ben Roethlisberger played his last game, we presume.
Home game.
At home. I was about to let me finish my sentences.
What?
At Heinz Field. Of course, mind you, the whole Pittsburgh football team may have played their last game at Heinz Field because it's expected they're going to change the name. And his 18-year career is about to come to an end. Whether he plays a playoff game or
they're
not.
They're going to change the name of the stadium, not the name of the Steelers. Right. Right.
I think everybody knew that's what I meant.
I know. I think people when people.
I
people,
said Heinz people, Field, know, but they're going to change the name.
Yeah, but they may have said, well, what? What are you talking about? They're not changing the Steelers.
Fine, John. And I thought 2022 was going to be a better year.
It is. It's a spectacular year, Bob.
It's the same old stuff. All right. So I get, look, you know, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan.
Yes, sir.
Who were the victims last night. And I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, I don't hate any other team in the National Football
League. You hate the Steelers more than you hate the Bengals?
Yes. Oh, I couldn't care less about the Bengals.
Really?
Yeah, the Bengals are not the rival of the Cleveland Browns.
And yet they're better than the
Pittsburgh Steelers
Browns,
and now. Cleveland Browns date back to the 50s, 40s, for all I remember. I don't remember.
Well, in fact, remember that they were two of the teams that moved.
That went from the AFC to the AFL to the AFC.
They went from the NFL to the AFC.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The other way around. So, I get they're all gaga over Roethlisberger playing his last game. Maybe the second best quarterback in the history of the Steelers.
What do you mean, maybe?
Well, he might not be that. I mean, well, like if you go back a long
Joe,
time,
you want Joe Gilliam? You want?
Well, no, but
I mean,
I'm trying to remember who the quarterback of the Steelers was back in the 50s and 60s, but they weren't very good back then.
They didn't make the playoffs until Bradshaw showed up.
Yeah, well,
they didn't make the playoffs till Chuck Knoll was the coach. I mean, Terry Bradshaw.
Well, Terry Bradshaw was number one.
The greatest quarterback in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What's he got?
Period.
This four many Super Bowls? Bowls?
Yes, sir. Four Super Bowls. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the most dominant football team, in my opinion, the most dominant football team in my lifetime in the National Football League. For that, more than New England. Over that period of time.
When was the last time you would have ranked Roethlisberger among the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL?
Oh, gosh.
10 years?
Yeah, maybe. You know, he won that. You know, he's a multiple Super Bowl winner. I was thinking about this last night watching him. I remember when he came into the league and Pittsburgh started to tout this guy out of a mid-level conference football team at Miami of Ohio, which you don't call it anymore. And thought, well, what are they doing? And now he's 39 years old and retiring. So he's had a great career. There's no question he's had a great career. And
I'm not denying that, but
he's a Hall of, I do believe he's a Hall of Famer.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I do. Just, you know, I just because the way he plays the game and the fact how many winning seasons they've had, his numbers support it. But he was never the best quarterback in the league at any time. Obviously, there are a couple of years he played on the best team, but he was never the best quarterback in the league at the time.
Well, now there's something to be said for longevity. He's played 18 seasons. But I wonder if he'd played 10 years, 12 years, maybe the average length of a quarterback's career, would he be a Hall of Famer? And I would say no. I would say no, he wouldn't be.
Well, how many quarterbacks?
Really good, but.
Yeah. How many quarterbacks that have made marks only played 8 or 9 or 10 years? Not many. When you think about it. You know, guys that it's almost we need the crack reacher staff to look at that one. I mean, how many times, you know?
Well, how many times would you say that the reason the Steelers were a success is because of the dynamic offense that they produced? And the answer would be relatively few, because the signature of the Steelers has always been their defense. Always been their defense.
And yeah,
if their defense is good enough, they can get to the playoffs and get to maybe win a championship.
And yet, if you said to the basic football fan, name the obviously it has to be 40 years of age or older. Name 5 stars or 4 stars from the Steelers dynasty. They would give you all offensive players: Franco Harris, Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swann. You know that to me is and how many who name me a guy from and mean Joe Green, right? And
well,
the only defense, and because of his Coke commercial.
Well, what's the I'm lost. As
no, my point. My point is no. It was a team that you're right was based on defense, and yet the names on the team were predominantly offensive individuals.
Well, I don't doubt he's going to the Hall of Fame, but I wouldn't vote for him. At least what? I'm not saying I wouldn't vote for him. I would say I would want I would. It's not an automatic for me.
That's the Cleveland Brown coming out of you.
Maybe.
Speaking of Cleveland Browns.
Yuck.
And I know you love Baker Mayfield.
No, I hate him. You know that.
Yeah, I know. What do you do with him now?
He's proven me right.
What are you going to do with him now?
He hasn't signed a contract. I don't sign him.
And he's going for surgery now, right?
Well.
The fascination with
how many balls were knocked down last night?
Too many.
How many passes were
knocked
down?
I mean, it was ridiculous.
Staggering.
Yeah,
you just can't let that happen. And I blame the offensive coordinator and the head coach a bit for this, because this guy is 6'1" and he has a problem getting the ball over the defensive.
So what would you do? You'd have him rolling
beginning of his career.
You'd have him rolling out all the time. Yeah.
Yes.
I know. The thing for me with Mayfield is that he has become so beloved in the advertising world. that he's a bigger star on television without just being a football player as he is.
I think his commercials are great. I like him a lot. I don't dislike the guy. I don't think the Cleveland Browns can win with him.
Yeah.
And I said that for a long period of time. We had this conversation more than a year ago.
Yeah. Oh, no, I recall.
Now, the only thing I can tell you is take a look at what has happened this year.
Yeah.
Take a look at what happened last night. This offense has plenty of weapons. Quarterback can't get the ball to the wide receivers. The fact that Chubb played almost not at all last night, I think 12 carries, maybe a reflection of the fact that they couldn't get to the playoffs and they just said, well, what the hell? But the offense was stagnant once again.
Yeah, indeed.
We got to take the final break and we'll come back with a bit more after these messages. McCown and Shannon back with you. We got to do this quickly. Klay Thompson will return on Sunday. It was like the beginning of the season. We saw Klay Thompson walk onto the court in the shoot around for Golden State. And we thought, okay, he's ready to come back. And here we are 2 months, 3 months later.
Yeah.
Before he's finally ready.
And it's not as if they've missed him. Holy smokes, are they good.
Yeah, no kidding. And like in a word, this Toronto Raptor team now healthy, at least for the moment, has won a couple of games and pretty comfortably. What's the real deal with them?
I think we'll have a better sense tomorrow night. They play San Antonio on Tuesday. They play Milwaukee on Wednesday. And if they can win both of those games, then I think you can seriously start talking about playoffs for the Raptors.
Well, San Antonio shouldn't be a problem. Milwaukee, of course, will be. That will be much more of a saliva test. We thank you for listening or watching, as the case may be. For John Shannon, Bob McCowan, we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.